I'd like to read just one verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. And before we do that, let's all bow in a brief word of prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, what a joy it is to be here to hear Thy word proclaimed. And I pray, Father, that Thou would use me as Thy instrument to bless Thy people. Whatever their need is, whether it be a word of exhortation or encouragement or even rebuke, I pray, Lord, that Thou wilt use me as Thy faithful instrument to be whatever You would desire me to be for Thy people today. And I ask Thee, Lord, that I might be Thy messenger and Thy message, that I might not be heard, but that Christ might speak through me, that I might simply be Christ's mouthpiece speaking to Thy people today. We do thank You, Father, that Thy word is infallible, inspired, and without any mistakes, and that we can come before Thy word and glean from it true spiritual food for our souls. So I pray You will feed Your sheep today, Lord. You are the good shepherd. Feed them with the bread of life and help them to be nourished and brought up in the things of God. So speak now, Lord, and be glorified in all that we say and do. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, we read, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." The Apostle Paul counted the preaching of Christ as a great privilege and a solemn responsibility in his life. And he knew he was undeserving of such a privilege. He knew that God called him by His grace to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. What a phrase Paul used to describe the purpose and essence of true preaching. What a profound and sublime statement. The unsearchable riches of Christ is worth a year of sermons. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes, "The test of all preaching is its conformity to this definition of the message and to this standard. The business of any man who claims to have been called to be a minister of the gospel is to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ." And the riches of Christ really are the true wealth of men and nations. And those riches are unsearchable, or you could say unfathomable. It was interesting that I was reading through a news story this week on the internet. It came out in 2007. It was out of Tampa, Florida. And it was regarding deep sea explorers who had mined what could be the richest shipwreck treasure in history, bringing home 17 tons of colonial era silver and gold coins from an undisclosed site in the Atlantic Ocean. A jet chartered by Tampa-based Odyssey Marine Exploration landed in the United States recently with hundreds of plastic containers brimming with coins raised from the ocean floor. The more than 500,000 pieces are expected to fetch an average of $1,000 each from collectors and investors. Odyssey won permission from the Spanish government to resume a suspended search for the wreck of the HMS Sussex, which was leading a British fleet into the Mediterranean Sea for a war against France in 1694 when it sank in a storm off Gibraltar. Historians believe the 157-foot warship was carrying 9 tons of gold coins to buy the loyalty of the Duke of Savoy, a potential ally in southeastern France. Odyssey believes those coins could also fetch more than $500 million. But under the terms of a historical agreement, Odyssey will have to share any finds with the British government. The company will get 80% of the first $45 million and about 50% of the proceeds thereafter. Now, we sitting here this morning will never possess that kind of treasure in our life. But the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians chapter 3 reminds us of the unsearchable riches of Christ for those who believe in Him. And I found it interesting that those who were looking for this sunken treasure in the Atlantic Ocean. They didn't want anybody to know about it, because if someone found out about it, they would want to go and try to find the treasure themselves. But what a difference when it comes to the unsearchable riches of Christ. We don't want to keep the riches hidden and not told to people. We want to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We want to tell people about the riches of Christ. We want to say, here, these are the true riches that you need in your life. They're unsearchable riches of Christ. We don't want to hide it from people. We want to proclaim it. We want to preach it. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. I preach. I proclaim. I declare. I don't hide. I don't disclose this information from anyone. Just for me to have. But it's for all to have. And this was the theme, the emphasis, the focus of the apostles' ministry. It was the preaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ. It wasn't preaching on principles. It wasn't preaching on things that would entertain people. It wasn't preaching on things that make you feel good necessarily. It was on the preaching of the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And the reason why we must preach these unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ in this church is because that's the only message worth preaching. That's the only message of value that I can bring before you and to make you rich in the things of the Lord. Nothing else will give my messages any value unless I preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. This is something that's not new. This is something that we must continue to do in this church. For if we don't continue to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, we might as well close the doors and go home, because there's nothing worth preaching. I'm not preaching myself. I'm not preaching a creed. I'm not preaching a denomination. I'm preaching Christ and the riches that are found in Him and in Him alone. And the reason why these riches are so rich is because they find their source in eternity and in a divine love that far exceeds any human relationship. These riches are boundless in their extent, and they are designed to astonish and satisfy us. You imagine those who found that shipwrecked treasure. You know, it took a long time and a lot of effort and toil to find that treasure. But once they found it, can you imagine the joy and the thrill and the astonishment of not only finding a little treasure, but a great treasure, $500 million worth of treasure. What an astonishing discovery. But for the child of God, I'd say that there's a treasure that even far exceeds a shipwrecked treasure like we just read about. It's that treasure that's found in Jesus Christ. And it truly astonishes us and satisfies us. And what are these unsearchable riches of Christ? Although they cannot be described, we must try to mention some of them. Let us look at these riches in the following manner. And this is how I want us all to look at these riches. I'm poor. I am empty-handed. I am a pauper. What do I need? Christ has everything that I need. Therefore, if we come in that manner and with that attitude, we will see that these unsearchable riches are for those who are poor and bankrupt, those who have nothing to offer God. God lavishes these things upon those who seek Him. And that's the position I want us to come this morning. We're poor and needy of these things, and God will show us exactly what these riches are so that we can go away from this house rejoicing in what we found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the message that I have is simply discovering the unsearchable riches of Christ. Discovering the unsearchable riches of Christ. And as I thought about this and as I study, what are these riches? I think a good summary of the riches that are found in Jesus Christ is found in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Turn with me there, and you'll find four riches that are listed by the Apostle Paul. And again, these are just four. There's so many more that we can mention, but I think as I thought about it and as I studied it, this is a good summary of the riches that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. We read, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." The first thing that we need is wisdom according to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. That is knowledge and understanding. We live in this great world with its problems and possibilities. And the first questions to be answered are, what is it all about? Why am I here? Is there a God? Why is not God doing something about this world that I live in? How can I know God? And as I see the world, many ways, collapsing around about me, is there no place of steadiness and steadfastness? How then can we arrive at this knowledge and this wisdom? Note the apostles' answer, it's in Christ. Christ gives us the understanding. Christ gives us the wisdom. Christ gives us the knowledge that we need to live in this world and to answer these all-important questions. And the reason why this wisdom is found in Jesus Christ is because He's the source of wisdom. It is by Jesus Christ that we are made wise. It means simply that Christians have become truly wise by the agency, the teaching, and the work of Jesus Christ. Worldly philosophers and teachers have attempted to become wise by their own investigations and inquiries. But Christians become wise by the work of Christ. And the more that I understand the work of Christ, and the more that I understand who Jesus Christ is and who I am in Jesus Christ, that makes me wise. That makes me a man and a woman of understanding. None of these truths that we are riches that we are mentioning or considering have been obtained by the investigations of worldly men, by philosophers, but by the instructions of Christ. You could say that in one sense, the word unsearchable means that men can't search them out because he can't discover them in his own abilities, in his own wisdom. Only Christ, as he reveals himself to sinners, can men come to this kind of wisdom. Only in Jesus Christ, only as the Holy Spirit applies this truth and this knowledge, can a sinner understand the unsearchable riches of Christ. The natural man, it's impossible to understand these things. But a man that is filled with the Spirit, a man who has been regenerated by God's power and by the work of Jesus Christ, can not only understand them, but he can rejoice in them. He can truly feast upon them because they truly are riches for his soul. Colossians chapter 2 verse 3 we read, "In whom," that is in Christ, "are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the great agent by whom we become truly wise." And therefore, we read in James chapter 1 verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." God here is referring to Jesus Christ. He's referring to the source of wisdom. Christ is the source of wisdom. If we need wisdom, if we need knowledge, if we need understanding, we need to go to Christ. We need to ask the Lord for wisdom and help. And we do need wisdom, brethren, in this world constantly. Wisdom to know what to do, when to do something, how to do something. We need wisdom in training our children in the fear and nurture of the Lord. We need wisdom in how to relate to our spouses. We need wisdom to know how to talk to our unsaved family members and to talk to our neighbors about the gospel. Where do we get this wisdom? It's in Christ. Jesus Christ gives us this wisdom. And Christ is often represented as eminently wise and as the source of all true wisdom to His people in the Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 we read, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots." The idea here is of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is wise, the one who's all-knowing, the one who truly can help his people in times of perplexity. Maybe you're here today and you need wisdom. You need knowledge. You need understanding. Let me say, if someone's here, we all need it. Not just maybe some people here. We all need wisdom. We all need understanding. Who do we go to? We go to Christ. We don't go to ourselves. We don't go to the world. We go to Christ. The world considers going to Christ as foolishness. That's the foolish thing to do. I have wisdom for you. Come to me, worldly wise man says in Pilgrim's Progress. We know better because we've been converted by the power of Christ and we have been set apart for His glory and for His honor. Therefore, we have this unsearchable riches of wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Matthew chapter 13, verse 54 says regarding the wisdom of Christ. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ may be said to be made wisdom to us or to communicate wisdom because He has in His own ministry instructed us in the true knowledge of God and of those great truths which pertain to our salvation. When Christ taught His disciples, His followers, He said, follow Me. Ask of Me. He was the source. He was the one that we have to go to. Constantly Christ is telling His disciples, and He had to constantly remind them, didn't He, of trusting in Him for wisdom. And doesn't He have to do that with us? So often we're so foolish. When we need an answer for something, we try to figure it out in our own wisdom and in our own knowledge. That only confounds things. That only makes things worse. And Christ comes to His children and He says, don't forget, you need to be reminded, I'm the source of wisdom. I'm the one that you need in this difficulty. Come to Me. Oftentimes, Christ is the last one that we go to. We become so full of anxiety. We become so flustered and so overwhelmed, perhaps, with a providence that comes into our lives unexpected. And who's the first one that we should consult? Who's the first one that we should go to? Jesus. Because He's the source of wisdom. Christ has turned us away from the ways of folly, hasn't He? And He's inclined us to walk in the path of true wisdom. Oh, that Christ might remind us afresh to go to Him. What an unsearchable riches that we have in Jesus Christ. He is truly our wisdom. So none but those who are instructed by the Son of God become thus wise. So we learn, first of all, that wisdom is part on the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, according to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, in addition to wisdom, righteousness is included in the unsearchable riches of Christ. How can a sinful man stand before God? How should man be just with God was the question that Job asked in Job 9, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, Christ is made unto us righteousness. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then your sins will be forgiven and you will be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ at that very moment. And you can stand in the presence of God. This declaration of righteousness simply affirms that we become righteous through Christ, as it is affirmed that we become wise, sanctified, and redeemed through Him. Bible commentator observes the leading idea of the apostle, which should never be lost sight of, is that the Greeks, by their philosophy, did not become truly wise, righteous, sanctified, and redeemed, but that this was accomplished through, only through, Jesus Christ. And the doctrine of justification, or the doctrine of being imputed the righteousness of Christ, is that God regards and treats those as righteous who believe on His Son, and who are pardoned on account of what He has done and suffered on the cross. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what's unsearchable. That's what's unfathomable when it comes to the riches of Christ. That He would impute to us His righteousness. And that we could stand before God just, Just as Christ is. And God sees that righteousness. We can't bring our righteousness before God. There's filthy rags. They're soiled and stained with our sin. Even our motives are wrong. Even our intentions are stained with sin. But not in Jesus Christ. That's why we believe in Him. That's why we trust in Him. Because He gives to us that imputed righteousness, that unsearchable riches in Christ. The world doesn't offer that. You can't receive that in the world, only through Christ. He's the source of righteousness. What a treasure we have this morning by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul wants to preach. This is what I'm preaching this morning. I'm preaching what Paul preached. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Wisdom, righteousness. But it doesn't end there. We have to ask the question, how can I continue on with God once I'm saved? How can I continue to walk with God in a way that's pleasing to Him? Though I now am forgiven and given the righteousness of Christ, I know that sin is still within me. I still have sin clinging to me. And I know that the devil is still my enemy. How can I stand up in the fight against evil and sin and the devil? Paul answers that. Christ has made unto us not only wisdom and righteousness, but also sanctification. Whenever we come to die, we can be sure of this, that in Christ we shall stand before God faultless and blameless, because Christ is our sanctification. He's the one that gives us the power to live a holy and godly life. We don't have that power. Sometimes I've heard people say that now that Jesus has saved me, now it's up to me to work out my salvation. It's all up to my strength and in my power and in what I do. And that's heresy. That's something that will just cause a person to become so miserable and so unhappy. Because the focus and the source of her sanctification is not us, it's Christ. And that's a treasure that we have, brethren, today that the world doesn't have. And we make mistakes, we fail, we sin, but our sanctification is focused on Christ. And when we sin, thank God we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the just one. And He makes intercession for us. And He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life pleasing unto Him. Problem is, sometimes when we are honest with ourselves, we look at ourselves and we start thinking that sanctification is really secretly my work. It's what I'm doing. And we very subtly take the focus off of Christ and sanctification. We put the focus on ourselves. And that's just a recipe for disaster. Paul says the treasure that you have in sanctification is Christ. It's not yourself. So look to Christ. Trust in Christ. Continue to be governed by His power in your life. And how does He do that? How does He sanctify us? He helps us to work out in our daily lives by putting His Holy Spirit within us. He gives to us the Spirit of the living God. By Christ we are sanctified or made holy. This means that by His work applied to our hearts, we become personally sanctified or holy. And this is done by the agency of His Spirit, applying truth to the mind. John chapter 17, verse 19, we read, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." This is done by the aid which He furnishes in trials, temptations, and conflicts, and by the influence of hope in sustaining, elevating, and purifying the soul. All the truth that is employed to sanctify was taught primarily by Christ. And all the means that may be used are the purchase of His death and are under His direction. And the Spirit of God, by whose agency Christians are sanctified, was sent into the world by Him and in answer to His prayers. Remember that great high priestly prayer in John chapter 14, how Christ prayed that His people might be sanctified. Sanctify them by truth, sanctify them by the Spirit. Christ prayed that prayer and God answered that prayer. And we could say today that we're sanctified in and through Jesus Christ and by the power of His Spirit. The riches of sanctification. Christ is also redemption for His people. Paul says, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Redemption, which means that Christ will raise my body and glorify it and change it. Redemption is complete and entire. There will be nothing lacking in body, mind, or spirit. In your poverty, in your need, you are confronted by the unsearchable riches of Christ. He is everything you need in this life. I like the words of the hymn, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing. And the things which are specified above, justification or righteousness and sanctification, are part of the work of redemption. Commentator writes, probably the word is used here in a wide sense for redemption as denoting the whole group or class of influences by which we are brought at last to heaven, so that the apostle refers not only to his atonement but to the work by which we are in fact redeemed from death and made happy in heaven. Thus, in Romans 8 verse 23, the word is applied to the resurrection, the redemption of our body. The sense is, it is by Christ that we are redeemed, by Him that an atonement is made, by Him that we are pardoned, by Him that we are delivered from the dominion of sin and the power of our enemies, and by Him that we shall be rescued from the grave and raised up to everlasting life. Thus, the whole work of redemption depends upon Christ. And no part of it to be ascribed to the philosophy, the talent, or the wisdom of men. It does not merely aid us, Christ. He does not complete that which is imperfect. He does not come in to do a part of the work or to supply our defects, but it is all to be traced to Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10, and ye are complete in Him. It is Christ again who said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Life means spiritual life. Life means a relationship to God and enjoyment of His fellowship. And Christ our Lord has it in all its fullness. He says, He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In John 6, verse 34, the water that I shall give you, he said to the woman of Samaria, shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the riches, and it is as I know Him and possess Him that I am a participant in the riches. And the Apostle Paul had a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the greatest treasure in the world to possess. We often say, and it is true, that the greatest blessing that we can have in this world is to have a good husband or a good wife or even a good friend. We say that this is a priceless possession, and it is. But in the gospel, we are offered this knowledge of and this companionship with Jesus Christ. The apostle, in writing to the Philippians, says, to me, to live is Christ. It is life to him, to know Christ. Then he proceeds to say that his great ambition is that I may know Him. Because in knowing Him, there are the unsearchable riches. In knowing Him, there you will find wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And that's the continual theme from this pulpit, Sunday by Sunday. That's what I preach in this the building. And that's what this denomination, by God's grace, preaches. We preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We preach the unsearchable riches of Christ from the Old Testament, and we preach them from the New Testament. And if you do not find that pattern, if you don't find that emphasis from this pulpit, then there's something terribly wrong with this church and with the messages that come from this place. No. This is really the only message that I have to preach. This is the only message that the Apostle Paul preached. The unsearchable riches of Christ. We read in Colossians 1 verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Apostle goes on to pray for these Ephesians, that they might be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. See, Paul wanted the people in Ephesus, just like all of the people that he shepherded, he wanted them to think upon Christ on a continual daily basis. To think the gospel, to think what Christ has done for me, and to know who I am in Christ. These are all things that are part of the unsearchable riches of Christ. That when we discover them, when we realize them, we can truly live a life pleasing unto God. Paul says, and the object of this is that they may know the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Nothing in the whole world is comparable to that, to be loved by Christ, to feel it and to know it. What are the riches of the whole universe in comparison with this? To be loved by the Son of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ. But apart from the gift of Himself, Christ also gives us His Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water, says John the Baptist. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We receive the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit resident within us, and further, His power activating us and enabling us to work out our own salvation and to be witnesses for all this to others. Know that we need to plead for the Holy Spirit to be actively working in our hearts so that those who are around us, who are outside of Christ, can see that we are different than they are, that we are separated, that we have riches that they don't have. Wouldn't it be a blessing for our neighbor to come to us and say, I feel really poor in my soul, I feel impoverished, but you seem so rich, you seem so full of treasure in your soul. What is the difference? What makes you so different? And that's what we pray for, isn't it? That we can share with them the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let me tell you what makes me different. It's not me, it's Christ. He's given me wisdom, He's given me righteousness, He's sanctified me, and He's redeemed me. And you could just say so much more. That is what we pray for, the Lord to give us this open door to those who are paupers and impoverished and bankrupt in their sin. There is a remedy for sin, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's why we preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. How many people today you know of that have no rest, they have no peace in their life? They're like a storm that constantly is kicking up one thing after another. Problems are just constantly knocking them down. One of the great riches that we have in Jesus Christ is that we have a rest. We have a peace that is given to us by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11, verse 28, Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Do you know this rest in your own soul? Do you know this peace? A peace that is superabundant, that passes all understanding. This is what He says in John 14, verse 27. Peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Whatever may happen in the world outside, He gives His people peace. In nothing be anxious, therefore, says Paul, that is, in nothing be crushed with anxious care. But in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. And all this is included in the riches. That's why you can preach a whole year's worth of sermons on this text. I'm trying to do it in one Sunday morning. We think of the joy that we have in the Lord. The Lord says, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And that was said by the Lord Jesus Christ in the context, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 16, verses 24 and verse 33. The joy that we have because we possess the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's a joy unspeakable. It's a joy that we really have. It's not some figment of our imagination. It's real. And it's ours. because it's been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this leads to one of the most wonderful things of all, namely, for the believer, the ability to be content with our lot, whatever it may take, whatever may happen. That's a treasure. Godly contentment. Paul tells the Philippians, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What a way to face the future, dark and troublesome though it may be. Whatever may happen, we can face it quietly and steadily. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. To me, to live is Christ and to die is gain, says Paul. Oh, the riches of His grace. The blessed hope He holds out before us because we are children of God. And if children, then in us, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, enables us to smile even in the face of death. There remains for us an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. 1 Peter chapter 1. I have but started telling you about the riches, but these are some of the things that are found, just some of the things that are found in the treasure house of God's grace. Are you enjoying these riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ? Are you unhappy? Are you miserable? Are you troubled and perplexed? Do you feel that you are bereft of everything? May God have mercy upon you. With all these treasures that are freely given, we have no right to be in need. And we are a disgrace to Christ if we are in that condition. Are you enjoying Christ Himself? He stands at the door and knocks. Do we contemplate these riches enough? Do we dwell upon them? Are we thrilled as we think of them? Are we receiving them more and more? God forbid that we should be like the Laodiceans in Revelation, who thought that they had everything and were very rich. And the message of the Son of God to such is, because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods, I am all right and I can sit down and relax. If you think so and believe that you have need of nothing, the truth about you is, thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, our riches do not flow from us. They flow from Christ. And the Lord's gracious words to those who have doubts about their standing with the Lord. He says this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. Christ wants us to be rich, not according to the world. Not according to the things of the world, but according to His unsearchable riches. That's what true prosperity is. That's what true riches are. And that's what Christ is counseling us to focus on and to have in this life. Thus, He offers to all who believe in Him His unsearchable riches. In the world today, like every generation, is presenting us with a unique opportunity of telling men and women about the unsearchable riches of Christ. I hope one of the effects of this message is that you might not just say, well, that was a good sermon for me to hear, and then go your way and forget about it. One of the purposes of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ is for you to go tell people about these unsearchable riches. To live in the reality that I am rich, that I am prosperous in the Lord. And that in prayer and as we seek the Lord might give us opportunity to share with those who we come in contact with how really rich I am in the things of Christ. Oh, may the Lord impress this great phrase of the Apostle Paul in our hearts to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, to live in the reality that I am rich and that I am need of nothing because Christ has paid for it all. Christ has given me all that I need in this life. What a Savior, what a Redeemer that we have as God's people. In conclusion, Paul preached the unsearchable riches of Christ, and so must we. Some of these riches include wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Have you discovered the unsearchable riches of Christ for yourself? Do you possess this treasure in your heart? The Lord's table reminds us of how truly rich and blessed we are to be the people of God and to be those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ.